Good evening, Radiant Women. We are so happy to have you tonight. Welcome to our very first virtual Thrive service. We are so happy and blessed that we're able to connect with you virtually during this time, and really excited for everything that we're going to be talking about tonight. We are going to be addressing the topic of how to address everything that's been going on in light of this coronavirus, in the shelter in faith time period, as women of faith. And so we're going to be talking to you about marriage. We're going to be talking about what to do with your kids in this season. We're going to give you some good little nuggets from God's word tonight as well to encourage you, to build your faith, to keep you engaged with everything going on here at EMIC, all things Radiant, all things women. And so if you don't know me, my name is Catherine. I am the middle school minister here at EMIC, so I help oversee youth and get to hang out with lots of 11 to 13-year-olds. And that's kind of my area of expertise. We're really excited. We have an amazing panel of women here tonight as well. And hey, I want you guys, before we go any further, make sure you share this with your friends, invite some other ladies to hop on here. And tonight, we also want to hear from you. If you have comments, testimonies, things you want to engage with or share with us, you can text a number. It's 972-445-7226. And text your comments, your feedback, your testimonies, breakthroughs that you've been experiencing. And we would love to engage with you live tonight as we go on. But I am not alone. I have an amazing panel of women here with me tonight, and I'd love for them to introduce themselves. So Miss Kathy, why don't you start?
So my name is Kathy Grigg, and I'm the preschool coordinator for EMIC. So I take care of all the classrooms from birth through kindergarten. I'm also a former school teacher, so I've got about 15 years of teaching experience. So I want to help you get through this time of shelter in faith. Ashley?
Hi, I am Ashley Vinay, and I am EMIC. I've been to EMIC for about 3.5 years, me and my family. I am married for 13 years. I have 3 amazing children. Hi to you guys. A 9-year-old, 8-year-old, and a 2.5-year-old. I am currently a student as well. So I have 2 kids in school right now who are in school at home. I'm in school. My husband's a teacher, and he's still doing school. With a 2-year-old. So that is life right now.
You are living your best life.
We are living our best life for sure.
And then joining us tonight, we also have Rachel Ballinger. She's an e-member actually of EMIC. Rachel has got 8 children and they moved to Colorado recently. And so she's videoing in with us. Rachel, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm Rachel Ballinger. I have me and my husband, Isaiah. We've been married for 16 years and we have 8 kids. The oldest is 14 and the youngest are 5-month-old twins. So I'm excited to be here tonight and talk about how we are dealing with this coronavirus time. I mean, it's definitely been interesting, but it's good times.
Amen. Amen. And so I'll just open it up kind of in general. What do you ladies feel like has been just the most impactful thing that you've been facing in this season? You know, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. At least I know I haven't, especially for this long of an extended period of time.
Exactly.
So what are some of the biggest things that have just been impacting you right off the bat? Things that the Lord has been revealing to you in this time? What are some of those things, Miss Kathy?
So probably the biggest impactful one, I have 2 grown sons that live at home with me and my husband. And so we've got that dynamic. And so I'm working from home, obviously. And so how do we share that space and still treat them like adults, right? And not young children. And so walking through that and sharing those responsibilities, I guess is the best way to say that, with each other. So one of the wonderful things that's come out of this is we started sharing some of our childhood memories with our children, not realizing how much of it they didn't know. And so that's been a really big blessing because I feel like I'm passing on some really important information from my heritage and my husband's heritage as well, and giving them that sense of belonging. And it's little bitty things like that you don't realize are missing mm-hmm. because conversations now opened up because we're with each other so much more. So that's one of the really big blessings that's come out of this.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And, you know, we were actually talking before the show started just about how God doesn't waste anything.
Right.
And how in this season, you know, it's amazing how, you know, the word of God is very clear.
That's right.
You know, he takes what the enemy meant for evil and he turns it for good.
Yeah.
And is really able to, I think, speak to us in this time with all these distractions that are removed. And really, I mean, I think the Lord has been able to use this situation for a lot of really good things, like you were sharing with your kids and those connections.
Yeah.
I know you had a verse you wanted to read kind of along those lines.
I did. So one thing when I was praying about the tonight's service was not to get stuck into a victim mentality, because that's really easy to do. Because I know I've seen on Facebook, and maybe some of you have too, that, you know, for those seniors whose graduation's been taken from them or their senior year's been taken away from them, that's actually a victim mentality, and we don't want to give the devil place to that. And so the Lord gave me the scripture, and it's from the Passion Translation. It's Romans 8, verse 28, and it says, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son." Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family. We are family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son. Mm-hmm. So we've got that inheritance, that promise. He knew we were going to face this time right now.
Right.
This is not a surprise to him.
Right.
So it shouldn't be for us either. We should know he's got us covered. So don't give in to that victim mentality, because he's going to turn it for good. We've got his word mm-hmm. on it.
Amen. 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 Ashley, what have been some of the things that you've kind of been experiencing?
You know, I actually agree with what you were saying about not being the victim. Initially, when this whole quarantine started, the first day was very overwhelming at first. And I literally cried, like broke down crying. And then I asked the Lord, how do I get through this? Like, now my kids are looking to me as mm-hmm. their teacher, and they're looking to me as their mom. It's
right.
two different hats. And then my husband just trying to figure everything out. And he said to have fun. And so it's
That's
like,
awesome.
I'm a very structured person. Like
yeah,
a lot of
too.
You who know me, I like order. I like just routine and schedule, and I feel comfortable with that. And so how do I, and like have fun with my kids?
Yeah.
How do I bring that? And so, I mean, we've been building forts and like amazing forts that I kind of actually want to sleep in as well. It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting for them, but it's also exciting for me as a mom to see that, you know, we had this conversation and I asked them, I said, is there anything that you feel uncomfortable or sad, or how do you feel about all this change? And my son, he expressed that he was a little scared and he didn't know what all this meant. He just wanted to go back to school.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, as your mom, it's we're here to protect you. Like, your home is a safe place. We've always had peace in our home and we're going to continue to have peace in our home, and we'll guide you. Listen to what we're saying. We're listening to what the Word of God says. We're listening to what our superiors who are over us are saying. Mm-hmm. And then we'll let you guys know. So there won't be, you don't have to have that place. And it immediately eliminated it.
Yeah.
Like from the beginning.
Right.
But I had to make that choice for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
The choice started at the beginning.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the beginning of fear through all of this? Or am I going to choose to change that around? Because you got little eyes watching you.
That's right.
They can feel it. They can sense it.
And that's very important. I'm sure Rachel can speak to that as well.
Yeah.
About what your young ones are sensing from us during that time. Rachel, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. Yes. So when it all went down, I mean, the first thing, of course, was some disappointment. I mean, the kids all come home from school and they're all disappointed because their field trips are canceled and they can't see their friends anymore. And some of my girls are very social and they really miss their friends. But it was like, what are we going to do? And I found this whole experience to be such a great opportunity to walk out faith with our kids. Like, we do that every day, but in a situation like this, it's just really, it's been great to just, they get to see it first. I mean, we were walking through the steps. Like, first thing, we took communion. And we were like, we're not going to have any fear. We have authority over the coronavirus. We are covered by the blood. And, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And they know these things, but to have something that they can actually apply it to in such a real way, I think it's really faith building, and it's going to make an impression on them that they will never forget.
That's right.
And so they really are, they're not afraid. Like, because I kept hearing stories about other people, you know, about situations and things, and I asked them one day, I was like, okay, kids, tell me, how do y'all feel? Like, are you afraid? Are you scared? Like, how do you feel right now? And the feedback I got was, it was mixed. It was like, okay, they're annoyed because they can't do the things that they normally do.
Yeah.
And also, they were, one of them was like, it kind of feels like a vacation.
Yeah.
Because we get them, they're still doing their school, but they can get it done much earlier at home than they would otherwise. So that made me feel so good, because I'm just like, you want your kids to know that they're safe. You want them to know how to take the word and how to have no fear. I mean, that's no fear. That is so big. I don't want them growing up with fear. So with all that being said, I mean, it has been crazy. We've had our crazy days every, we have moments every day that are crazy with eight kids. But there's so many teachable moments, and that I loved what Ashley said about keeping it fun. And if I try to plan it too much, because I'm not very good at planning anyway, but if I try to plan it too much, it just gets, all the fun's gone. I'm stressed out, they're stressed out, and it just doesn't work at all. So I try to just flow with it. I do have like starting points where, okay, by this time, this and this has to be done.
Right.
And we start this, but not too many, because if I try to overplan it, it just takes all the fun out of it and everyone's stressed out and it doesn't turn out very well.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And, you know, even as a youth pastor, I've, you know, as we kind of call and check in on our congregants and, you know, the people we've been in communication with, I've had so many parents tell me, you know, I didn't even know my kid. I feel like I didn't even know my child because, you know, they knew the version of their kid that came home from school at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and would eat dinner and then would, you know, rush off to bed. But this is really, I think, for a lot of parents, it's very, you know, I think jarring at first, but I think it's also such an opportunity. You know, we have so many choices in this time. You know, we can choose faith or we can choose fear. We can choose to have a victim mentality. And, you know, something I heard Pastor Terry say is, you know, it's very trendy right now to be the victim. It's very trendy right now to be afraid. You know, but in this time, you have the opportunity to choose to look at this as an opportunity. And so a lot of these parents, I think, are really learning how to interact with their kids and engage with their kids on a whole nother level. Ashley, I know like I've been kind of watching your Facebook even and seeing some like fun little activities you've been doing with your kids.
So much fun. I mean, it's little things like I'll wake up and I'll ask God, hey, what can we do today? And I think that's important as a mom. It goes like, you know, just engage the Lord on that day because he knows what they'll need on that day. And so we started off with a fort, which I'm pretty sure so many of you guys have done forts during this time. If you haven't, like, get on it because it's amazing. But it's let them sleep in the living room. Like, for me, and have structure and keep everything, like, neat and tidy. Well, now I have this whole fort in the middle of my living room. And I'm listening to my children laugh from 9 to 2.5 years old. And it's like it hit each and every one of them that it's like, why not? So now they have a 2-bedroom library / zoo fort upstairs. And I'm like, I just want to hang out up there. But
and that's awesome you're flowing that way. And that works also when it comes to schoolwork. Because children learn different ways. You've got your kinesthetic learners. You've got your visual learners, your audio learners. And so giving them different ways to do their homework really does help minimize the stress of that.
It does.
Instead of just sitting in front of a computer. And I know there's times where maybe they've got to watch their teacher. But if the other times, you know, getting them even, I've seen people who've gotten them involved with the laundry, you know, like sorting to do matching for the younger ones, which is a really good technique. Helping you to do dinner, you've got fractions right there if you get them to help measure out the ingredients. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, planning is such an important skill that a lot of our children are missing just because it's not always in all of the curriculum anymore. Right. And so getting them involved in different parts of the day-to-day and changing it up so that it's not the same person doing the same thing, those are awesome techniques that help minimize the strife and the stress, and it helps you out too when you're home and, you know, feeling a little bit more confined. But I've also noticed a lot more nature walks happening.
Yeah.
Just in the neighborhoods, in the backyards even. Yeah. You know, turning a backyard into a maze for PE. Oh my goodness, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, and Miss Kathy, you know, you touched on something that I've actually had a lot of questions come in asking about. You know, with schools being out, you know, indefinitely in this time, how do I, you know, a lot of these parents have never homeschooled before. They've never, you know, been responsible to help educate their children to that degree. So what would be some of the things, and I know Rachel can speak to this too. Rachel, I know she's homeschooled in the past, but what would be some of the things that you would recommend to those moms out there, dads out there who are like, I don't know what to do with my kids or how to approach this from an educational perspective? What would be some of the insight you have?
I think for us, what worked was I got a dry erase board and I just wrote my daughter's name. I have two kids who are in school, third grade and second grade. So I wrote each of their names. Mm-hmm. I wrote just basic what you would normally do going to school. Mm-hmm. Make your bed, put your clothes on, eat breakfast. Check, check, check. They've seen now that they've completed three things on their list immediately, so they feel accomplished.
There you go.
And so that made a big difference. And so then their teachers, it's also too now, because my kids are a public school, engaging the teachers and making sure that we stay connected and we're speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. So they are being like, my kids' teachers are amazing, first of all, but then they've created curriculum and they're engaging us as the parents, we're engaging them as the teacher, and just the respect that's going between the two. I mean, even my two-year-old, her teachers, like, we still have, she has her Zoom meetings, and it's
awesome.
Really cute.
I'm sure that's cute with a bunch
it's
of two-year-olds.
It's so cute, like, showing toys, but it's one of those things that it's like, they still have their schoolwork, but it doesn't take the whole day. So it's like, okay, you know what? We don't have these ingredients to do this social studies project, but we can go outside and have PE.
Yeah.
And my daughter made an obstacle course throughout
there
the street.
You go. Yeah.
And so it's like they're doing this whole obstacle course and in the grass, in the street. It's not a lot of people out, so it's not as dangerous as it normally would be, you know? So there's ways to do it, but I think for us, the structure of they know that that board is going to be updated every single day. It's going to have a couple chores on there.
Yeah.
Basic things, you know, hygiene, take care of yourself. Like, don't just let yourself go during this time.
Right.
Like, take care of yourself. Love yourself.
Yeah. The same morning bedtime routines, the get up routines. It's easy to want to go into a very low key mode. And it's okay some of the time.
Some of it, yeah.
But it helps them to have a sense, and kids do rely on that sense of, you know what? My life is stable.
Right.
I know my mom's going to get me up at 7. We're going to have breakfast at 7:30 or 8, whatever time that is. And I know I'm going to start schoolwork at this time. It's important to have that, because then summer's going to come. And then what is that routine going to look like? And you do want a delineation between the end of school and the beginning of summer. So keeping those routines is really important. Yeah. Getting them to dress up. Yes, sometimes pajamas are okay. I get that.
Yeah.
But still keeping those routines are super important. Rachel, what kind of tips could you give us?
I agree about keeping those routines. Like, I still make my kids get dressed in the morning, do their hair, brush their teeth, you know, and they read their Bible and eat their breakfast, and they have to be starting school by 9 o'clock. But like some of the kids, I know different kids learn differently, so with having them home, like Marcus, he'll wake up, my son, he'll wake up, and he will do his school at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he'll be done by 10 o'clock.
Right.
And then Lexi usually starts about 9, and so do the others. But so some of them are done way earlier than others, but that's when he likes to do it, and I'm okay with it, because he's really pretty independent where he can do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want them to do like their, they have their chores they do every morning.
Right.
And they have to dress up. I said, occasionally it's fine if they want to wear their pajama pants, but they have to put a real shirt on.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, Mom, that's just because that's what you want to do. And I'm like, well, I can't deny it.
I'm the mom, so.
But still, hygiene is so important.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've done lots of different, we've done the obstacle courses too, and lots of crafts. I bought construction paper, popsicle sticks, paint, all kinds of stuff, and just anything I can do to keep them entertained. But they can also go outside and play, and I love it. That's, I encourage them to go outside every day, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
So just lots of creative ideas. My friend actually went and bought a whole bunch of toothpicks and mini marshmallows, and her kids had a blast with those. I think I'm going to do that next week.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I like
that was one of the ideas, because I was thinking, just as a teacher, some of the things, tips I would give parents for summer time.
Yeah.
And one of them is to do a mystery grab bag, and you just kind of put a little mixture of stuff you've got around the house, stuff that you don't mind being deconstructed, okay? Mm-hmm. That you don't mind is going to get probably tossed a little bit later. But put this mystery bag together, give it to your kid, and then say, hey, I want you to make something out of this. And give them as much time as they need to. Make sure if it's going to get a little bit messy that you let them know what the confinements are. It has to be on the kitchen table or in the backyard. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing what creativity comes out of those things when you do that for them.
Yeah.
So that was one of my little tips. But then you've got parents who might be struggling right now, and that's ever present in my mind, especially when I'm dealing with birth through kindergarten. And there are some parents who are just like, maybe their siblings are fighting. Mm-hmm. And so there's this conflict that's happening. We know strife is not from the Lord.
Right.
And you feel like maybe your faith battle's waning when that happens, because you've had to raise your voice or you've had to discipline. But keep in mind, that's not the case. Discipline is from the Lord.
Yes.
He disciplines us, but there is a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And it should always be from the standpoint of love. And so if you start to feel like your emotions are getting the better of you, it's better to take a time out yourself. I've done that with my kids when they were little. I was like, uh-oh, mommy's getting a little upset here. I'm going to go take me a little 5-minute time out. And I would just go put myself in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And my kids, I still laugh at it today, because their mouths dropped open. They're like, Mom's going in timeout. You know? Just like, why is mom going
important.
In timeout?
That's important.
But it helped me get control of myself before, you know, I reacted in a way I knew was not from the Lord. So I just want to encourage you. If you're starting to feel like you're not coping well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up about it, but take a time out and make sure the kids are safe. You don't want to like leave a little baby laying around where another kid could trample on them or something.
Right.
But keep those things in mind. It's okay. You got this. You are equipped. God gave you those kids. He loves you, and He would not have blessed you with those children if He did not fully believe you are capable of taking care of your children.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let the enemy convince you otherwise.
Yeah, that's so good, Kathy. That's so good.
So good.
And, you know, another thing, you know, we've been, please continue to text in your feedback, testimonies, comments. That number again is 972-445-7226. We want to hear from you. We'd love to engage and interact with you virtually tonight. But I know, you know, kind of in talking about kids, talking about families, a really big aspect of this is marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've been married. We're about to celebrate our 2-year anniversary. So I'm still in that, you know, newlywed stage. Yes. But, you know, I think marriage is something that is really on the forefront of a lot of people's minds as well.
That's
you know, because while they're at home with their kids, they're also at home with their spouse.
That's right.
You know, they are a lot of times used to being, you know, at work and not together as often. And now all of a sudden, here you are sheltering in faith, working from home 24/7.
Yep.
Yes. Same bed, same house,
right,
you know, all the time. So, you know, what would be some things that you would have to say to women who are kind of facing this new season of being at home with their husbands all the time?
I actually am enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband and I have actually talked about this, because I was like, you know, I'm really glad I like you. And that, I mean, that matters, because some people don't.
Yeah.
That's very true. They don't. And so I'm like, I really like you. I like spending time, but let's rewind 2 months. We were talking about just when we were first, like, you know, newlyweds, yeah. We had so much time to talk.
Yeah.
Right. Like, almost endless amount of time to talk. And then, you know, 3 kids later, there career, all that stuff. And then you're like, oh, you're asleep, knocked out, trying to talk. You're out. Now, like, we stay up so late just talking again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that has been the greatest to kind of have, like, re-engage your friend at a different stage.
Exactly.
I mean, we're 13 years in. I know so many people who haven't made it this far. Trust, we're not, like, perfect. Like, please understand that. But it's at the same time, we love each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things we did during this time is we completely rearranged our bedroom. And it's like, that was best thing. It was for a different reason, but then we rearranged it. And it was, like, refreshing.
Yeah.
So it feels like, you know, we're in, like, a hotel. Like,
I think
the lighting from this side looks great. This room is amazing. And that's, it's like, awesome. A new space. Our chairs are now next to each other, not across the room. And so now conversation sitting in the chair is closer and it's just more engaging.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I think finding, like, something. You know, things to do, projects to do together, you know, ways to keep that romance alive too, I think is a big thing.
There
I know my husband and I, you know, this past weekend built a flower bed in our backyard. So I think, that's, you know, beautiful. I've also painted like 4 rooms of my house. So that's what, you know, when you're cooped up, it's a good time to get to all those projects you haven't gotten to. But Kathy, what would you say are some of the ways that people can kind of, you know, when you get used to being together all the time and you can't go out, you know, it's really hard to go out on date night. It's hard to, you know, especially if you have kids in the house, hard to find that alone time to talk or things like that. What would you say, you know, are some ways that you found to be effective to kind of keep the spark alive in your marriage, to keep things kind of fun and interesting between you and your husband?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I've been married 31 years.
Yeah.
And so you can start to take your spouse for granted if you're not careful.
Right.
And so keeping communication was super important. But snuggling, we don't go to bed without snuggling, period.
Awesome.
And my husband's the one who insisted on that, and I'm so glad he did.
Yeah.
but you actually have to plan, not like write it in my planner, but if it gets you to that point, do it. But we actually had to purposefully plan, like, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about this, you know, or we're going to have a meal together.
Yeah.
Right. Thankfully, both our boys, like I said, are grown, and they've made dinner for us, so that's really cool.
Nice.
You know, some things that I've seen are people who have made dinner for their spouse out on the patio and just set up a special dinner. That's one of the ways. Putting a little love note, you know, just under the pillow or where you know your spouse is going to be working for the day if they're working at home with you. I know for me, I get my husband little treats, things that I know he likes. So when I go grocery shopping, he's got a little bitty surprise, like, oh, you got this for me, you know?
Yeah.
So those little bitty things, but it is being purposeful, and that's really the important part.
Yeah.
Rachel, what about for you?
Well, does eating ice cream and laughing at toilet paper memes count?
Yes. 100%.
Honestly, well, we do that way too much. But honestly, my husband is still working because we're living on the horse ranch. So he's still working every day, just like usual. So that doesn't really count, but it's always good to be focusing on, you know, keeping our relationship alive. And I really enjoyed what Kathy said. That's excellent.
Yeah. You know, I know for me and Holden, some of the things that we've been able to kind of do to keep things fun is when I, you know, we've been talking about getting dressed up and, you know, on our normal date night, since we can't go out, to still, like, get
there
dressed up, you know, and cook a, you know, maybe some filet and, you know, sit down and have, like, an inside date night and an in-house date night. And then a few weeks ago, we pitched a tent in our backyard and camped out in our backyard just for fun, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's amazing how, kind of like we said at the beginning, how, you know, the Lord wastes nothing. And in a time where the world and the media is so focused on all the negatives and, you know, kind of feeding on that fear of other people, you know, it's amazing how many ideas and ways there are to things to, like, you know, implement into your marriage, you know, to really help things grow and help your family grow and, you know, feed your faith. And then transitioning just a little bit too, kind of speaking of your faith, You know, what are some ways you've really been able to stay connected to our church family, ways that you've been able to kind of feed your faith in this time, you know, in your walk with Christ?
Right.
And, you know, like I said, we've been seeing a lot of varying opinions, to say the least.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think every time I turn on the news, you know, it's death tolls and
yeah.
lack of supplies, and this is not going to end till December. I mean, just
right.
crazy, you know, craziness. And so, you know, what are some of the ways that you've been able to stay firm in faith, you know, and speak faith and live faith and walk faith out in this time?
Yeah. So for me, number one, it's been watching the Victory Update instead of the other news outlets.
Yeah. Right.
That's really been important. Watching morning
so
prayer
yeah.
on Victory Network has been really important, too. Then on top of that, thankfully, we've got virtual services, so that's
right.
been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can connect there. But it's also phone calling. You know, we know our congregation members. There's
right.
nothing that's keeping us from picking up that phone and calling
yeah,
each other or
true.
Texting, sending an email, snail mail. Oh,
yeah.
my goodness. Do you know how many children that we've sent cards to in the mail, and they're so excited when they get their little
That's
card
amazing.
From their teacher?
Yeah.
So all of those have been ways that we've been working to try to make sure we stay connected with our families
mm-hmm.
Within the church. And then we're also looking forward.
Yeah.
This is not going to stay the way it is. We are
mm-hmm.
going to get back to being physically present with each other. So we're making plans. And I
yeah.
hope you were doing that same thing, too, with your family. What's
yeah.
that going to be like when we're back together again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
Amen. It's going to be amazing. That's for sure.
Big old party.
Holy Ghost. Spirit going on. Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, it's engaging, like, with the kids. It's like all of us together.
Yeah.
We would, you know, do communion together before, but communion has changed a little bit. My husband, he, you know, bought the actual little communion cups with the little elements and stuff. And so it's like,
awesome.
It's a very serious, you know, reflecting
yeah.
time. And then you have a 2-year-old who's here and it's like, this paper tastes good. It's like, it's a paper, but it's like, it's to laugh.
Yeah.
Like just those
yes.
little moments of connecting.
That's right.
And then listening to, you know, what God's saying to them, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, a dream that they might have had or something.
Yeah.
And so it's like continuing what we already did.
Yeah.
Like we cultivated peace in our home, period.
Right.
So I don't really have the news on a lot. I did, you know, turn on to watch certain press conferences and stuff like that. But after a certain point, I got convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped because
yeah.
it was like, what am I feeding? I'm not a person
right.
who likes drama.
Right.
I don't have drama in my home. I don't have
mm-hmm.
drama in my life. And so then I'm like, what is this I feel?
Yeah.
This is not
normal. And that's the key.
It's normal.
What you're feeding.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and where you can feed your faith by watching,
right.
you know, a lot of what the media is saying, you know, tuning into the news and all of that, you can feed, or you feed your fear that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can feed your faith
right.
by reading God's word.
Exactly.
And something
yeah.
the Lord had actually laid on my heart is in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings.
Mm.
Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart,
Amen.
For they are life to those who find them,
yeah.
healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the spring of life. Put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far from you. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose,
yeah.
and let your gaze be straight before
mm-hmm.
you. Verse 26, consider well the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil."
Amen.
And, you know, I love that because, you know, it says, attend to my words,
yeah.
submit to my sayings. Well, what does submitting to his sayings mean? I think for me, it's been asking myself the question, what would Jesus be saying in this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would Jesus's confession be? Would it be, oh, well, I'm just calling it how
That's
it
good.
Is, and I'm just telling you what I heard, and these are just the facts?
Right.
Or would Jesus be speaking faith?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
we know Jesus would be speaking faith.
Right,
that's
exactly.
how he, you know, ministered. That's how he walked his entire ministry.
Right.
And so it's so important, you know, our mouths are the fountain of power that God has given us.
Amen. So true.
And that's how he created the world into existence. And that's how we create our reality, is by what we speak,
right.
what we choose to meditate on, what we fix our heart on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's so important, I think, in this time that we watch our words.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, you know, we make sure that our words line up with his words.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that the meditations of our heart line up with what's on his heart.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's what I always come back to is, am I saying what Jesus would be saying? Am I right. thinking about and dwelling on what Jesus would be there thinking about and dwelling on, you know? And I think it's so important in this time, kind of like you were talking about, Ashley, with creating an atmosphere of peace in your home.
Right.
I think to establish that atmosphere of faith and not fear,
right.
you know, you need to be speaking that out and speaking that into right. existence.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yep. Yeah.
That's really good.
Kathy, do you have anything to share?
There was one, and it was in Philippians 4, verse 8. And it's really been encouraging. It's helped me know what I'm supposed to be focusing on. And in the Passion Translation, it says, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real,
yeah,
honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Mm. So that gives us our guideline right there, what to keep our thoughts fastened on.
Yeah. That's so good. And one other little nugget I had that I just had really ministered to me today, I was actually reading in the book of Zechariah, in chapter 9, starting in verse 12, it says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you.
Oh, wow.
And when I was reading that, you know, there's so many good things on prosperity that I love in that. But what really leapt out to me was this phrase, you prisoners of hope.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. So many people right now feel like they're prisoners in their homes.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you're a prisoner to, you can't leave, you can't go anywhere.
Right.
But I love here that God's word says we're prisoners of hope, which means we're not prisoners to doubt. We're not prisoners to fear. We're not prisoners to discouragement, you know, but we are prisoners to hope, which
That's
is
right.
in, you know, the finished work of Jesus,
That's
and
right.
which is yeah. in our healing, our prosperity, our yes. victory in Christ over this situation, you know, and so that's good. Amazing, you know, to just, it's all about that perspective shift,
yeah.
to right. just shift
yeah.
your focus, not on, oh, I have to stay home and I
right.
have to just let all these things happen to me, like you were saying with,
right.
you know, victim mentality,
right.
but
yeah.
I get to choose to hold fast to what I know
right.
is truth,
right.
even
right.
if what the news is saying doesn't match my circumstance.
There you go.
You know?
There you go. Right.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Copeland, he mentioned last year too about getting your house in order.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is also like a really good time to do
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like we've done so many projects just within our home, but then that gives you the opportunity to just clean stuff out. It's spring.
Yeah.
Spring clean your house. Like it's that, it's
Amen.
Just one little thing, a linen
yeah.
closet, something. But when you're doing that, you're getting rid of like old things, but mm-hmm. you're preparing for that next season.
Mm-hmm.
And we
right.
don't know, like right now there's time.
That's right.
Some people mm-hmm. have time at home. So how can you utilize that
yeah.
time?
Right.
So maybe pick one task to get done, closet or outside or something, and
yeah.
then, you know, you're praying over your property,
mm-hmm.
you're declaring the word, you're outside, you're getting vitamin D if you're doing something in your garden,
yes.
like you guys did. I mean, you're doing something, but then you're also preparing for that next season when you might not have that time.
Yeah,
like
right.
imagine, like you were saying, once we're all back together, what does that time look like after
right.
a couple months now of not being together?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly. so good. That's
exactly.
so good. Rachel, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that?
I was like, what keeps coming up to me is just that this time is a gift. I mean, when
yeah.
else are we ever going to have this much time together as a family?
Right.
And it's just been a great opportunity to really focus on the things that I've always wanted to do, but sometimes don't happen because we have such a full schedule and we have sports and, you know, all these activities and things.
Yep.
So we can do family dinners together much easier and family devotions and all these things that I've been, I mean, it's great. I heard a quote, something about in our rush to return to normal, you know, let's take time to think about what things we actually want to return
there
to.
You go.
And so it's just great to reflect on really what, it's a great time to make the changes that you've been wanting to make and
yes.
to focus on the things that are really important. It's just
there
giving me, it's giving me time
yeah.
to do that. And it's a gift. It really is.
Yeah.
And so many things are uncertain. If you focus on those things, but like I was telling the kids today, Jeremiah 39:11, I mean, I know the thought. God knows the thoughts and plans he has for us, and they are for welfare and peace, and not for evil. And they're to give us hope and a final outcome. Yes. So this is going to end. This is going to pass. It's just a season. And right now, I just want to enjoy it. It's a gift that we don't have to be doing so many other things, and we can really focus on the family time.
Yeah.
And our relationships have improved. Seriously, like the sibling relationships. I mean, at first, when they're together all the time, yes, it can be really rough. Mm-hmm. But the more they're together and the more they, it's so good. It's a perfect time to work on their relationships and just really grow as a family.
Yeah. And then lastly, you know, we're going to wrap it up here soon, but just one other kind of group of people I wanted to talk about for just a minute is, you know, those senior citizens who, you know, especially, you know, what our medical professionals are telling us are, you know, more at risk than others and really are, you know, maybe they live alone. Right. And so they don't have that close-knit family living with them at home anymore. Mm-hmm. What would you ladies say, you know, as a word of encouragement to them, or even as a word of encouragement to others to reach out to those, that group of people? How would you encourage them in this time?
Yeah. So take advantage of the U.S. mail. Yes. Everyone loves getting a card, you know?
Yeah.
That little note in the mail just brightens your day. Yeah. But not just that, call them on the phone.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know anyone who does not have a phone that they can't pick up and hear your voice. And I make it a habit to make sure I call my mom at least once a week. And like I said, my son, when we started sharing about our childhood memories and about our parents, he started calling his grandparents up. So it was a good way to get the grown children back reoriented with their grandparents and contacting them and saying, hey, tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your dad. Tell me about your mom before all that history's lost.
Right.
Right. But the reverse is true as well. If you're maybe one of the senior citizens, I don't want to say senior. What if you're one of our wiser elders that the Bible talks to us about? You have the ability to reach out and touch people as well. Mm-hmm. And so don't let the victim mentality get a hold of you either.
Yeah.
Right? So they can also reach out either by sending a card in the mail or I actually saw on Facebook where some of them were posting pictures. They would get the nursing home or the little assisted living home, wherever they were at, to put up their picture of them saying, hey, I'm alive, I'm here. Yeah. But those are always sharing memories, not just, you know, have the little ones write a memory verse to send to their grandparent, you know?
Yeah.
There's lots of ways. Sending cookies in the mail, you know, just because we can't go see them doesn't mean treats have to stop. You know, there are still places that are functioning that can deliver things to them. So have your children come up with ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people actually drive over to, even though they can't come out of the house, they can at least look through the windows.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I've seen some really cute little drive-by visits, you know, like, you know, maintain social distancing. Yeah. But, you know, that's a really cute way, too.
We painted rocks.
There you go.
And we wrote, like, kind words or, like, you know, faith-building words, whatever you want to call it. Just something that was, like, happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd ask the kids, which ones do you want? We'd go and put them on the doorstep, and then I'd run back to the car after I rang the doorbell. And then it's like you see people opening their door, and it's like you get to see people.
Right.
But then having the children kind of engage this, and like they're choosing, this rock will go to this person, and we'll go to this door.
Yeah.
And so it's like instead of being at home, and I think it's like what you guys were saying about being a victim, when you're older, like I don't have any grandparents, so it's like I don't have that with that, but my children do. So it's important.
Yeah.
We call my mother-in-law and my mother, we call them like a lot.
Yeah,
and
I was FaceTiming my grandma yesterday.
It's
important.
Yeah, it is important.
It is.
Phone calls go a long way.
That's it. And find out how they're doing. You know, a lot of churches have things set up where they're able to go and help senior citizens or the elders who may not have that ability to be able to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But on top of that, I know I'm a part of my neighborhood app. Mm-hmm. And so there's people who are saying, hey, I'll go grocery shopping. And so they put their names on these lists. So find ways to connect. They're out there. You just have to do some research.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, something that you just said. It really made me, kind of reminded me of something I was meditating on earlier today, which is just in this time, in this season where, you know, not just our nation, but the world, you know, is freaking out about this whole situation. I really believe, you know, the Lord is going to use this as an opportunity for the church to step up and be the church.
Yes.
You know, I've seen our outreach department with Pastor Brian going out and ministering, you know, Life Unlimited, ministering to our congregation.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing. You know, I've seen church services live. I saw for Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday this past Sunday, I saw a church service live on Fox News.
There you go.
I mean, I just think it's an amazing how, you know, this has really pointed back to the church as the answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we are the hands and feet of God in this world.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're called to be an extension of His love, of His grace, of His peace, of His faith.
Right.
And so it's amazing how the church really is able to be an answer in this time and minister to those who, you know, maybe don't go to church or don't have a church family, those who don't believe in God at all.
Right.
You know, it's an amazing opportunity. So,
that's exactly
be encouraged at home. Find ways with your family to interact with your family, but also find ways to be a blessing to your community wherever you are.
That's
You know, there are so many things we can be doing in this time.
That's
This time isn't an excuse to just disengage or be distracted, you know, but this is a time where we really have the ability to walk in faith, walk in love, and be a blessing to people.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
You know, well, ladies, this has been so fun. I have really enjoyed this time. I feel like we could probably talk all night.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Girls.
But yeah, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been awesome to see you.
So I think we need to close with our favorite, right?
Absolutely.
Are you ready?
Ladies, everyone at home, remember that we love you and God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
We love you guys. See you soon.
Jesus is Lord.